You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out the door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. How you doing this evening? Pins and needles or, huh? You're wondering why I'm saying that? I should tell you, and we will be telling you throughout Mouthful, the score. Currently, it is 31-23 in favor of the Ravens, but 49ers certainly had an awesome third quarter, didn't they? All things are possible now, and Mike will be letting us know whenever anything happens. This is an anniversary for Mouthful. After our annual anniversary, our 17th, last November 1st, we have another anniversary, and I think it's our fourth.
Yes.
Yes, it's our fourth. We have the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association here with their West Coast representative. I always think of them as their escort and chef, Ann Vercelli. She brings them here this time of year. We have Dave Barber, vice president, and Carl Brandhorst, president. And I think the first year we tasted wines from Florida to Maine. Not exactly randomly, but all different kinds.
Different varieties, grape varieties, yes, that we grew on the East Coast, yes. Yeah.
And then we did...
One year we did rosés.
Oh, that's right. So we did reds. We've done reds, whites, and rosés. Mm-hmm. And tonight we are doing sparkling.
We're doing sparkling.
So before we get to that, mm-hmm. talk to people about why you're here at this time of year every year. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're here basically to attend the Unified Wine and Grape Symposium, which is held in Sacramento last week.
And, there's a sound we like.
One of the sparkling wines wanted to get opened up and join us. But we are there for the Unified, and we pour some East Coast wines out there. People are starting to learn about our wines and mm-hmm. the varieties we have and what we grow. And then Ann also arranges for us to do a seminar at the Sonoma County Wine Library, which we did. It was a full house, 60 people there on
Great.
Friday night. Another private tasting on Saturday, and a couple other various things. And, of course, here, Ann's arranged with you, Michelle, to have us here, and we're quite happy to be. We're quite happy to be here.
Well, it's so nice to know. I always have this Sunday covered, and I know it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And I know you also give a really great either brunch or lunch. Today it was brunch because of the football game, and I was very sad to miss it. I'm hoping next year I'm able to go.
Well, we hope you make it next year.
Yes.
And puts on a very good brunch.
Absolutely. I have no doubt. I know lunch last year was absolutely wonderful, and it's a great time as well.
It lasts about 3 hours.
Yeah. So what we're pouring first, tell us about it. Is it intentional that you're pouring a Maryland wine first?
Not necessarily, but it just happened that way. It is, all these wines are entered in our competition. We have a competition every year from wines, grapes grown and wines made in any of the 17 states touching the Atlantic that we call the Atlantic Seaboard. And this is a variety. The first four are from different varieties that you're not familiar with. This one is a Vidal Blanc. Vidal Blanc is a French-American hybrid grape that's very hardy on the East. It's very floral, very aromatic coming through, and Great Shoals Winery does a sparkling wine with it. So we figured we'd start with that, and little did we know that we were planning this, that we would be on Super Bowl night with the Ravens and the 49ers. But anyway, here we are.
So it's Great Shoals Winery. And where specifically is Great Shoals located?
They are right near the bay, Chesapeake Bay. They're on the bay there, and they are, I'm not sure exactly where they are, but closer to Annapolis.
Close to Chesapeake.
Yes, they're on the Chesapeake Bay.
And so I would think that this would be a wine that people would probably drink with Blue Crab.
Yes. So it's nice, you know, the aromatics, as we're getting a nice big mousse as we're pouring it. And I think it's done in the traditional method of the Method Champenois.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to break in for just an instant here to say that the 49ers just scored a touchdown. It's now 31-29.
Woohoo!
And we'll see about the extra point. So keep pouring that wine.
Okay.
Well, here, that deserves a clink of glass.
So here's Great Shoals, the sparkling Vidal Blanc. And the mousse is so big, and I think the fruitiness is a nice golden color.
I was all braced to expect a sweet wine, mm-hmm. and this is lemony and crisp, mm-hmm.
yes,
just
crisp.
Like I like it.
On the light side.
They finish it just 0.5% residual sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have that forward sweetness.
No.
And this would indeed be an excellent wine mm-hmm. with crab. And also be really good with oysters.
Yes. Well, that's one thing. As sparkling wines, you usually have a lot of acidity there. And we get the structure. And a lot of the structure that you get, the acidity that balances out with the crab, the richness of the food. And that's what really does, the nice design that way. It balances with food.
Yeah, this is a really lovely, mm-hmm. lovely wine.
And the Maryland wine industry has really grown here the past 10 years as far as the number of wineries in the state. For many years, they just had about 10 or 11. Now they're up around 40.
Really?
Just been growing here in the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, and are most of them, you know, sort of close to the bay?
No, there's around the bay. There's a lot more there, but then there's a lot in the mountains, the higher elevations, to grow the grapes a little better.
As you get up toward the Pennsylvania border.
Mm-hmm.
And so, then do we have information about what these wines cost retail-wise?
Yes, we have. Yeah, this one, particular one, the Great Shoals Sparkling Vidal Blanc, retails for $28. So this is a higher end.
Higher end.
But, it's a Method Champenois, so there's a lot of labor involved in making that wine.
This is really lovely. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed.
Great. Good start.
Definitely impressed. In fact, this one, it's just a little tiny bit in my glass, but I'm not going to dump it.
Yeah. It's interesting, just the way that, especially in the East, we have the grapes don't ripen as much as they do in California because we don't have as much sun. So we have the higher acidity to begin with, and that's one of the nice things you want in sparkling wines because you want that acidity to come through.
Now, that's so counterintuitive to me mm-hmm. because I just think of the East Coast as hot.
Well, it's hot, but not as baking as much. The degree days uh-huh. aren't there. And then it's hot, but then we have humidity also.
Exactly. So you have the humidity mm-hmm. mitigates.
Yes.
That's right. And so we mm-hmm. have the dry heat, which I find so actually difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time with dry heat.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm really a grape and I just don't know.
That's right.
And as you get it to the New England area, you do get cold up there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, hasn't there been this year a lot of really cold weather all along the seaboard?
Yes, yeah. The jet stream is doing strange and wonderful things, they mm-hmm. tell us. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, so far, so good.
Okay. And we have another one here that we'll move on to the next one, where we move a little to New York. And this is a Riesling of New York. The Finger Lakes is home to Riesling. And mm-hmm. this is a Wagner Vineyards and doing a sparkling Riesling.
Now, the grape in... The wine industry in the Finger Lakes area has been established for quite a long time, right?
Yes, it has. Yes.
Prior to Prohibition, well before Prohibition. Uh-huh. And actually, they were doing a lot of sparkling wines prior to Prohibition there, uh-huh. but using the Catawba grape, a Native American grape.
Uh-huh.
And that was what they made. They made lots and lots of sparkling wine, even in New York down through Ohio. Ohio, prior to Prohibition, was the largest grape-producing state in the Union. And that was making the wine, but Catawba and sparkling wine. During Prohibition, though, the Prohibitionists in New York said, pull out all those wine grapes, the Catawba, and plant table grapes, the Concord. Little did they know, you could also ferment Concord and make wines.
Yes.
But both of them are there now. Not as much Catawba replanted, but Concord mm-hmm. is there, but Riesling has taken over.
Riesling really takes over.
Dominant in the Finger Lakes.
And Catawba, I don't know anything about Catawba. White grape?
It's a sort of a pinkish skin,
like a
Pinot Gris that can have that pinkish color.
Uh-huh.
And Taylor Cellars, or not Taylor, California, before they owned California, they were the New York State, they were big doing a pink Catawba, a little sparkling wine.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're ready for our second taste.
Okay.
as we...
We're ready for our second sound.
Your second sound.
A grunt. Not the grunt, but the pop. There we go.
There we go. Here, and I'll tilt my glass.
Mm-hmm. And the Rieslings are nice, too, because they're there. There's a lot of dry Rieslings, a lot of semi-dry Rieslings, a lot of sweet Rieslings. But then also they said, let's do some sparkling Rieslings. Mm-hmm. And here's
this
one.
Is Wagner.
Wagner, yes. Mm-hmm. And Riesling is so friendly to Asian foods.
Yes.
You know, really
especially
good choice with Asian foods.
The peach apricot flavor coming through, and usually a little bit of sweetness in there. This particular Riesling is 2%, so it has a little more sweetness in there, which would be nice with that spicier foods.
Mm, you could have this with a nice Thai larb, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite things in the world.
Yes.
This, again, very nice. Mm-hmm. And
very
not
aromatic, don't you think?
Not very aromatic, light and bouncy mm-hmm. on the palate.
Great length.
Great length. Yeah, and not cloyingly sweet.
It's not, no, just 2%.
Yeah.
But again, the acidity coming through to balance
yeah, that
it.
Yeah, acidity is very mm-hmm. pretty. Yeah. Very. It's a very refreshing wine.
Yeah, and the effervescence from the method mm-hmm. there coming through just makes it a nice glassful.
It's very pretty in the glass. Mm-hmm. Hold it up to the light. It's very mm-hmm. pretty. The bubbles are really tiny.
Mm-hmm. So it's just sort of one of the things they do with Riesling grapes. And the New York has declared Riesling as the state grape for New York.
Oh, they have.
Because it's dominant in the Finger Lakes. Mm-hmm. And basically it's world-class. Other than Germany, it's about the best Riesling made in the world.
Well, this is really lovely. And you do get, mm-hmm. on that long finish, you start mm-hmm. getting those, say, peach, mm-hmm. maybe a little apricot.
Apricot coming through.
Yeah.
In the recent inaugural luncheons, a lot of Rieslings from New York were uh-huh. served.
Oh, nice. Nice. Okay. Why don't we take a little musical break, and we will be right back with more sparkling wine and maybe a score update.
Thank you.
You're listening to Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for listening. You know, if I was queen of the world or queen of even just North America, I would just make the Super Bowl always happen in New Orleans. It's the build-up to Mardi Gras. It's Mardi Gras season. Any excuse to listen to more New Orleans music, eat more Cajun food, and stay up late and have parties, I think, is a really good idea. The score is still 29-31. Is that right, Mike?
Yes, it is.
Okay, there's still time left, though. And we're opening champagne. Maybe we need to open another bottle for good luck. So the next one up is...
We're still in New York. Lakewood Wines, Lakewood Vineyards. And this is called Candio. It's a proprietary name, Candio. And this is made from the Cayuga grape.
So Candio is the name of the wine.
Proprietary name of the wine itself, yes.
And the... Lakewood Vineyards.
Lakewood Vineyards in the Finger Lakes.
In the Finger Lakes.
Yes. And this one has a dipple. Instead of the cork or whatever, we have a crown cap on there. Sort of to keep the cost down a little bit.
Okay.
And the crown cap is easier to open. And you don't have to worry about the pressure. And I say easier. Carl is still struggling. But it's sort of like a soda pop can.
As we're pouring that, one thing we didn't talk about, the price on the Wagner Sparkling Riesling. What is the price on that one?
$19.99.
Okay. And then this one, again, very pretty in the glass. And I have to say, I've never had a sparkling wine with a crown cap.
Yeah.
Except in the cellar before
they're
corked. Exactly,
before the whole dosage system.
Right, yes.
Well, we have another one later, too.
Okay, cool.
And you'll see it's just why not? Because it cuts down on labor. And just as other wines, still wines, are going with Stelvin, the screw cap, why shouldn't sparkling wines just have a crown cap? It's easier to do. Easier to maintain and easier to open when you're ready to
open. Party. Yeah, interesting. And this is, did you say Cayuga grape?
Cayuga grape.
Tell us about that grape.
It is a Native American grape, and it's one of the ones, it's a Vitis labrusca, which will, give you more of the foxiness, typical of a Concord or a Niagara that you know of. But it's still made in a nice sparkling style.
Mm-hmm.
And I think still refreshing. It's only 2% also, so it's not going
to be really sweet. You sense... more sweetness, but again, not in a cloying way at all.
No,
it's still refreshing.
Still very refreshing.
And it's reminding me of something.
Sort of in the aftertaste, you'll get that we call foxiness because that's the name from the grapes. The style of the flavors coming through, but it's almost that Concord grape jelly jam flavor.
Maybe it's what I'm just recalling from other the previous tastings that we've done, because there's something very familiar about it.
But it's still refreshing and nicely balanced. So, again, with any of your salads or lighter food courses or seafoods, would it go nicely?
Oh, this is another great one with crab.
Yes.
Really good with crab. Annie, what did you... You didn't pour sparklings. I mean, your luncheon doesn't resonate with Mouthful. Did you serve any of the sparklings today?
We had three sparkling wines as the welcome wine.
Oh, great.
Yes, from Virginia and from North Carolina.
Oh, cool.
And New York.
And New York.
And New York.
Sparkling Riesling.
Which was Riesling.
Sparkling Riesling.
From Swedish Hill.
Swedish Hill, sure.
Yes.
Sparkling Riesling, Riesling Cuvée. Then we had...
Sparkling Point,
Topaz, which was a
New York,
Long Island, which had the Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, traditional blend, and then Biltmore Blanc de Blanc from North Carolina grapes.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And that's what we started off with, and then we sat down and ate and drank a lot of other wines
for hours.
But this is the Cayuga, just another way of showing there's other wines made or grapes you can make sparkling wines out of any grape.
Yeah, really interesting. So Native American grapes.
Yes.
Now, are these Native American grapes that we find, I've learned about them primarily from you in the Atlantic seaboard, are they growing anywhere else in America?
Yes, but basically the Northeast is where your Labruscas come from.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting enough, when phylloxera hit and whatever, Isabella is a grape that's sort of a hybrid there, and a lot of Isabella was planted in Switzerland. For table grapes. So some of those native grapes do make it outside of North America.
Oh, interesting.
And growing as table grapes or as wine grapes, too.
Yeah. And the native grapes, the grapes native to North America, wasn't bothered by phylloxera, right? Or
no,
was it?
They are immune to it. They developed immunity.
Yeah, that's
and
what I thought.
There's a lot of different species of grapes. North America has the most indigenous species of grapes than any other continent.
Mm-hmm.
And Vitis labrusca is from New York, Pennsylvania, north. And that's your Concord, your Niagara, Cayugas.
Mm-hmm.
whereas Vitis rotundifolia from Virginia south to Louisiana, that's your scuppernongs, muscadines. And then you have your Vitis estivalis, which is sort of in the central area, and that's your Norton grape. Mm-hmm. And then you have Vitis riparia, which is very wild, very hardy, very strong, very growing, but doesn't produce many grapes, but that's used for rootstock or also hybridization.
Okay.
Most of your rootstock is on Vitis riparia or a hybrid of the Vitis riparia.
Interesting.
So they're
interesting.
All
whenever
grapes.
You're here, I learn so mm-hmm. much. It's really great. Okay, I'm going to let you tilt this into the dump bucket. Mm-hmm. That's why we're not getting tipsy here. We have this very large dump bucket. Yeah. And that's how, you know, I think we'll give a little glimpse to people who don't taste wine. And I know, Annie, you help with and put on a lot of tastings. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that if you do it, it's extremely hard work. And you get no sympathy because you can't complain to your friends because they're like, oh, poor you having to taste all day. But it's quite challenging work. And that the way that people do it, or one of the things you do is you dump the wines. You spit. You
exactly.
get the wine into your mouth. Mm-hmm. I think most people will swallow a little bit because, you know, that's part of tasting is that little bit going down your throat. Yeah. But then you spit.
Yes. It depends on what procedure you're
yeah.
in. If you're actually doing a firm judging, you'll spit everything. You won't swallow
yeah.
much because
right.
you may have 100 wines between
right.
breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
So if you swallow, you're not going to get the lunch.
Exactly.
Let alone
yeah.
the afternoon.
Yeah.
But in a social event, you may swallow a little bit too.
Yeah.
Just to
yeah. But if you're doing actual official judging.
Official judging, you do spit.
But mm-hmm. one thing too, you are still absorbing alcohol.
Exactly.
Yes,
because
you are.
The alcohol is absorbed through your palate
yes.
as well
mm-hmm.
as through the lining of your stomach.
Yes.
So, and if you're tasting red wines, you mm-hmm. just come out the most god-awful purple teeth.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, you can't avoid some of the alcohol getting into your system, Michelle.
Yeah.
So you do have to, as you're judging professionally, you know, you've got to take in some water there in order to counter the alcohol.
Yeah, you take in water. And if you're tasting at least reds, you also have to keep
you have to resuscitate
fast.
Your palate.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You have to, yeah, with, I know, with
crackers or roast beef.
Roast beef, olives, roast yeah. beef mm-hmm. butter.
Or olives. Graber olives are excellent.
Oh, really?
We use that in our competition.
Oh, and so that would be because of their high oil content.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
would help
mm-hmm.
replenish
yes.
the palate. Okay, mm-hmm. interesting. What's up next?
The next one is...
You want to get the price?
Let me break in here and say that the Ravens just made a field goal, so it's 34-29. So pop another one so we can get another San Francisco touchdown.
Just to the price on that cario was $12.99.
Oh, $12.99. Mm-hmm. Good price.
Yeah. Now, the next one we have is in New Jersey. It is Plagido's winery. It's a relatively new winery, but a little old Italian-started winery there.
Plagido's, okay. Mm-hmm.
Cinque is the proprietor name, and this is made from a Marquis grape. Again, I'm not that familiar with Marquis, but it is one of the native grapes or the hybrid grapes there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be a little sweeter. This is 4%.
Okay.
So, but I think it's exciting just to see the different grape variety, what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can taste it and see the structure of
it. Off here.
But it is
fighting
Marquis.
With it. Fighting with the cork over there.
And Dave, how many wineries are in Virginia now? Because there's been growth in Virginia.
Yes. In Virginia, we now have 220 plus wineries in Virginia. And other states, New York is the fourth largest wine producing state, where Virginia is the fifth. And New York has 400 some wineries.
Uh-huh.
Pennsylvania is growing, and North Carolina is growing with over mm-hmm. 120 wineries.
So I would assume that a lot of these wineries, probably not all, mm-hmm. but a lot, have tasting rooms.
Yes.
And that wine tourism is becoming an increasingly
exactly.
important.
The majority of the wineries have
business.
A tasting room.
Mm-hmm.
And the structure is there to come and visit. And a lot of the states have supporting that. Virginia especially, we have a very supportive governor and first lady who are promoting the industry, made a lot more money coming from the state available for wine tourism and wine promotion. So we have signs and additional coming in on interstates coming for...
Do we want to... Okay, go ahead. I think we're going to go to a quick musical break mm-hmm. and let Carl battle with this very... Oh, okay. We're going to take a musical break and we will deal with a very troublesome cork and be right back.
Thank you.
It's Mouthful. It's KRCB Sunday evening. We are tasting eight sparkling wines from the Atlantic Seaboard. It's an annual event here on Mouthful. On Super Bowl Sunday, it always seems to be, we are tasting with Carl Brandhorst. You know, one of these days, I'm not going to have to look at the card to get your name right. Brandhorst.
Brandhorst.
And David Barber. Mm-hmm. And Ann Vercelli. You know, for me, it's the end of a long work week. I don't get the weekend off. And the score is still 34-29. But we've got four more bottles of wine to open. So I think we'll get beyond that.
Yes.
And so now this is the Marquis grape?
Yes. We
another
fought the
native grape.
And got the wine open, and we're tasting it.
Yeah, it was one of those corks that felt like super glue was holding it in place. But congratulations, Carl. You did a good job.
It took a big effort. And but it's well worth it.
This is from Placido's Winery in Hamilton, New Jersey, which is outside of Philadelphia on the New Jersey side, made from a Marquis grape, which is a native grape.
And you can really taste that native
that foxiness
grape.
Yes. Structure in there.
Yeah.
And it is because of that, a lot of times to compensate for that flavor in the grapes, the winemakers will make it a little sweeter to compensate for that.
And this
foxiness.
One's, and this one I would, call this, a di- this I would is, call this a dessert sparkling wine.
This is a sweet wine with 4%, but still, I think, balanced. Mm-hmm. And unique flavors coming through that will match up with a lot of
definitely unique.
Or something, yeah.
Definitely unique. Not like the sweet ones, say, from California. Sweet sparkling ones. Very different.
Yeah.
Very, very different. And what's the price point on this one?
$29.99.
And again, it is from
Hamilton, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
And whereabouts is that? Do we know?
Outside of Philadelphia. Over in New Jersey, near
Everything's
Cherry
so
Hill
close
area.
There.
Exactly.
You know,
we don't have the distance.
That's just so weird for Californians.
Well, that's what, in talking with different things, we say California or the West Coast. Okay, how many states are on the West Coast? The three. Well, coming back to the East Coast, how many there? 17. Well, that includes Vermont, Pennsylvania, West Virginia that don't technically touch the Atlantic, but we still can include them as Atlantic Seaboard states.
And why?
Continuity, because if you didn't have Pennsylvania or that sort of a big gap in there, and they have a lot of wineries, so.
Yeah.
But it usually is considered an East Coast, even though they touch the Delaware Bay, but not the ocean.
Yeah, and it seems there's a lot of climactic similarities.
Yeah, very similar, yes.
Influenced by the Atlantic, if not actually sitting on it.
Exactly. And if we did, New York touches because of Long Island, but then the Finger Lakes is nowhere near, influenced by the structure, so we include everything there. Okay, we're going to go to the next one, which I think might be an easier one to open.
Hopefully an easier one to open. Here.
And at this point, we're going back to tradition and of a winemaking style, where we're going to Virginia Veritas Winery.
That was easy.
Wanted to open up. And this is Scintilla, the varietal or the proprietary name. And this is made from a Chardonnay Pinot Noir. Or, I'm sorry, it's not. It's Chardonnay and Cabernet Franc,
which I've not tasted
Chardonnay
before.
And 20% Cabernet Franc. Cabernet Franc goes very well in Virginia, and instead Pinot Noir doesn't. So, hey, when you have lemons, you make lemonade. Well, in this case, you make sparkling wine from Cabernet Franc.
And Veritas is in about the center of the state.
Yeah, and we've tasted wines from wines from Veritas.
Yes. Pinot Noir, one of the people say, why doesn't it grow in Virginia? Well, Pinot Noir is a very tight skin or a very tight bunched grape with a very thin skin. Yeah. And because of the humidity, as we talked before, the grapes usually rot before they ripen.
Right.
But you can get some earlier and use for sparkling wines. But Cabernet Franc grows very well. And with a balance of only the 20% in here needed just for that little body, they decided to use the Cabernet Franc.
Mm-hmm. The owner of Veritas is Andrew Hodson, and his daughter is the winemaker there. He's a former brain surgeon.
Wow. Cool. I bet he's very precise with his orders.
Oh, yes.
And this gets back to the dryer. It's 1.5%, so it's just slightly off dry. But I think with the
very refreshing
assets, it's
very
it's
refreshing. Lots and lots of pip and apple in this. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me, what can we say about the influence that the Cabernet Franc has on this? Anybody just jump in.
The earthiness a little bit in the background.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you get a little bit of that spiciness in the finish, I think, too.
Okay.
And I think it also gives structure
to the wine.
Yeah, structure and body.
Mm-hmm. And it's only 20% of the Cabernet Franc, but it's just enough to build it up. You still have the Chardonnay flavors, the apple pear flavors, but that backbone coming from the Cabernet Franc.
Okay, yeah, and it does have a good backbone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there is at the finish, there's some nice spiciness.
Yes, yes.
And the proprietary name is Scintilla.
Scintilla.
Scintilla. And this goes for $30 a bottle. $30. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is very refreshing. Yes.
And the mousse in the mouth. I mean, the mousse continues mm-hmm. in your palate. You just get that explosion of the developing mm-hmm. bubbles. And
but as Anne says, it's got great structure.
Great structure. Mm-hmm. And that with the mousse, it just reverberates yes. with that taste of mm-hmm. pippin apple.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So that's one getting back to some traditional sparkling wine grapes. Yeah.
It's, okay.
We'll move on to the next one, which again, we're going to New York, and we're sticking with a Chardonnay. This one in particular is from Chateau Franc. Chateau Franc is from the Finger Lakes, and this is 100% Chardonnay. It's their Blanc de Blancs.
Is there a story to the name? Because
yes.
it's Franc.
Okay. That is the gentleman's last name. It's okay. Constantine Franc, okay. Dr. Constantine Franc, uh-huh. who was born and educated in Georgia, the Republic of Georgia, not the state, oh. but the Republic of Georgia. Uh-huh. And in the early 1950s, he was an enologist studying making wine in Georgia, but because of the communist style and area there, he emigrated to New York in the Finger Lakes. Couldn't get a job as an enologist, so he started as a janitor at Taylor Cellars and moved up in the world and eventually opened his own winery, Vinifera Wine Cellars. And he was a proponent that vinifera should be growing in the Finger Lakes. At that time, it was not. Mm-hmm. He was the one that basically was the father of bringing vinifera in.
Mm-hmm. Don't really remember what vinifera means. Let's explain that.
Okay. Vinifera is one of the grape species. It's mm-hmm. the dominant one of all the grapes of European origin. Your right. Chardonnay, Cabernet.
Yeah, so it's in the...
Basically all the grapes that are grown in California
right.
are vinifera.
Right, so, and they're all the same species.
Yes, that is the species.
Yes, that's the species, vinifera.
Yes.
So the grapes that are familiar really to, especially Californians, but Americans yes. who are just used to drinking and yes. not thinking a lot, mm-hmm. you're drinking vinifera.
Correct. Like the other wines we had, the Cayuga, we talked about Vitis labrusca. That's a mm-hmm. different species.
Right.
Or the Vitis rotundifolia is a different species. But right. vinifera is the species. Mm-hmm. And can now grow everywhere. And it's doing nicely. Mm-hmm. And this is the... Blanc de Noir, or Blanc yeah. de Blancs.
What we should make a point here, Michelle, is that Constantine Franc is the winery for the regular grapes, and Chateau Franc is their sparkling wine.
Oh, okay.
This is Chateau Franc.
Okay. And looking here, one thing we haven't talked about yet, but I want to look back over what we've tasted, mm-hmm. because it just caught my eye, and it's interesting. The wines are all 12% alcohol or under.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons we don't have that California sun to bake the grapes
problem.
And ripen them.
Yeah.
So we're lucky to get to the 12% and happy with that.
Uh-huh.
And two years ago, we had a very bountiful year. The sun was out and ripened a lot of grapes. We did not get any rain, and it just kept sunny, warm in the fall before we harvested. And a lot of winemakers said, what do I do with these, quote, overripe grapes? It's producing alcohols I don't know how to handle. Uh-huh. And then I ran out of acid because the sweetness around there, do I have to acidulate? We never have to acidulate, add acid to the winemaking mm-hmm. process in the East because we have the natural acids.
Yeah.
So it's just a twist of turn.
What did they end up doing?
I think adding, depending upon the individual wine, maybe uh-huh. adding a little bit and calling California friends and say, this is what you usually have. What do you do?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wondered if spinning off alcohol had gotten to the East Coast yet.
No, we don't.
We don't have the need, let alone
the facility to do that.
Yeah.
So we just sort of did the best we could with it, and uh-huh. It was one of the best years we had. But again, it was unusual for us to have that weather, and that was the first year that North Coast had all the rain and didn't have a good year.
Right.
So it was a trade-off. But
okay,
anyway,
so let's taste this mm-hmm. one. So again, this one is
Chateau Franc.
Of course, that's sitting right here looking at
Blanc de Blanc, which is made 100% Chardonnay. And it is dry, 0.8% mm-hmm. sweetness, so it is dry. It's a little bit of underlying sweetness, but with the acid, you really can't perceive it too much.
But there's something else. When you take a sip and then breathe in.
Mm-hmm. Sort of lemony flavors coming through.
That slight yeastiness you're getting.
Yeah, but there's something else, and it's very appealing. Mm-hmm. Right there, after mm-hmm. I've swallowed, and it's just resonating. I tasted it once, just once. In a French wine that someone brought onto Mouthful, Paul Seguera, mm-hmm. he brought it onto Mouthful. Gosh, it must be 6, 7, 8 years mm-hmm. at least. And I thought of it then as wet linen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I've mm-hmm. tasted it since. And I just think of it as wet linen. Mm-hmm. And it's an unusual, but I find very appealing quality.
Yes. Well, I believe they oak age your Chardonnay a little bit prior to the secondary fermentation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is not something I taste in most oaked Chardonnays. It's just... Mm-hmm. This I can't remember the white wine, but it was I know it was from the south of France. I can't remember if it was southeast or southwest.
Right.
And it was just it's a quality that struck me, and here it is.
Yeah, and also note this is a 2007 vintage. It's a current vintage.
So it has a little bit of age on it,
and they age it on in the bottle, traditional Method Champagne Noir style of maintaining it on the lees. So it may be the additional lees contact.
Yeah, exactly. It might be something that comes from that, but it's really it adds this other layer.
Yes.
That I find really quite engaging.
Yeah. Chateau Frank is one that does traditional or as much as possible of the sparkling wines because they have a whole building and they age them before they actually release them. And as I say, this one is a 2007, which is their current vintage.
And it's $29.99.
Yes. $29.99.
So it looks like a lot of the wines we're tasting tonight are really right in that $30 range.
For the sparkling wines, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just because it's the extra effort to make them.
They charge on there. You know, but this is really a very lovely wine.
Mm-hmm. And again, it matches well with food as an aperitif style wine, hors d'oeuvres, or with foods. It's a great combination.
Now, how possible is it? What sort of distribution do you have on the West Coast?
Chateau Frank, Constantin Frank is probably the only winery that has ample distribution of some of their wines because they are large enough and they have gotten those inroads.
They do have a distributor out in California. They do. I don't have his name with me right now, but they do have a distributor.
Most of the other wineries are too small to have anything. Yes, but direct shipping can be done.
It can. Okay, so people can just go to the websites of these wineries.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And what I'll do is I'll go to Mouthful's Facebook page either tonight or tomorrow and I'll list all the wines and so people have the exact spelling and they can just research them if they want to make direct contact with the winery.
And another tool is our website, Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association.
Oh, so they can find anybody.
And that is
ASWAwines.org,
ASWA, Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association, wines.org. And on there, you'll see all of our activities, but there's also a scroll bar to find wineries, and it's broken down by regions. You can click on what region or what state they're in, and you'll see all the wineries that we know of
within that
there.
Region.
And then the ones that are highlighted are the ones that entered our competitions, which these would be some of the wines.
So you just click on that for like Chateau Franc. You just click on that. You go immediately to their website.
I'll put a link on Mouthful's Facebook page. I will put a link to your website because why reinvent the wheel?
Absolutely.
It's already been done.
Modern technology is good.
Now we have something that I'm particularly interested in. Mm-hmm. Several years ago, I did a story on drinking red because there are now enough red sparkling wines that you can actually have a flight of them. And they're very, initially, I mean, they're just so beautiful to look at. They're also quite delicious to drink. So now this is a sparkling Syrah?
Yes.
From Georgia, the state of Georgia.
And again, the closure, they use a crown cap. But to hide that crown cap, they enclose it in wax. Hard plastic wax, so it's easier than the flakier wax to get off.
But good.
They make the easy crown cap hidden and make it more difficult to come off, but at least it's there.
Yeah. Okay. There's a couple of those wax caps.
Yes.
I need to take a sledgehammer to get
it off.
Got
it, yeah.
Now this is soft.
There we go. And this is Wolf Mountain Vineyards, and it's Blanc de Syrah Brut.
And we have to talk before you pour. Okay. Let me see the bottle.
Sure. It's a gorgeous bottle.
This is a beautiful, beautiful bottle with etched or painted silk-screened painting of I think it's red poppies.
It could, yes.
Yes, red poppies, and they're so, it's just a beautiful package. Not a reason to buy a wine, but something to note when you have it.
The winery's located northeast of Atlanta in the Delonica area.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting. This is a Syrah, and this is not red or pink.
No. Just a slight salmon color coming through there, because, again, they're not going to ferment on the skin. They're just going to have a little influence of the skin as they're
just almost just the slightest blush, almost like the blush on a white peach.
Yes, yes. But again, you get more florals. I think you get more aromas of a Syrah. Not the big, chewy aromas, but you're going to get some more subtlety, saying it's basically a red grape, more body.
You're getting that nice fruit on the backside, too.
Yeah, and you're getting a lot of spice on the backside.
Spice.
But it's very, again, it's very refreshing. Mm-hmm. Really bright on the palate and mm-hmm. refreshing.
Because this is finished, only 0.4% residual sweetness. So, again, it's very dry.
Uh-huh.
But just the key in on the Syrah grape with the hints of color and, again, the backbone of the grape itself to come through in the sparkling.
I'm curious what Annie thinks of this one.
I think that the balance and the finish is remarkable, and that's what you really get out of this wine, mm-hmm. that it's very well balanced.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you like to enjoy with this at the table?
Chicken. I think this would go very good with poultry products.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. With a nice light sauce. And the acid in the wine would go good with acid in a lemony sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Balance. Oh, that's a good...
Balance.
I'm hungry. Score is still the same, huh?
Yeah, it's 11 seconds left. Fourth and seven, Baltimore. Okay, fourth... Let's see. Yeah, Baltimore just lost... rushed for a loss. 4 seconds left at the Baltimore zero.
4 seconds left of the entire
at
game?
At the goal line. Four mm-hmm. seconds left, and San Francisco just took over the ball at the goal line.
Is there anything possible? at San Francisco's goal line?
At the Baltimore goal line.
Oh. Okay.
So they have to go the whole length of the field?
No, they've got one play to get a few inches. A
couple inches.
They only have to go a couple inches?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
In 4 seconds. To get started in 4 seconds.
Wow, so it could be like one of those gives you chills.
It could be the one where they make the
quick,
play on
open
the
a bottle.
Oh, everyone is celebrating, I am sure, or about to. Or as we go, I'm sorry. We go through, as the next one we're going to open up is... It's interesting. We talked about sparkling wine last year, of doing it this year.
Mm-hmm.
And our competition this year, we had 495 wines entered.
Wow.
And we go through all the gold, silver, bronze medals. In each category, we come up with a best of category wine.
Mm-hmm.
And all the gold medal best of category wines we put together for a best of show. And the first time ever, our best of show was a sparkling
really?
Wine.
Really?
What we're going to pour now.
Oh, cool.
And it's a Chateau
well,
Frank.
Well, I'm honored.
That's right. Chateau Frank. Again, this is, well, and it really wants to come out. And this is a Blanc de Noir.
And best of show in
the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Competition.
2012?
Yes.
2012. That was our eighth year. We'll be doing our ninth year.
It's the last wine of the evening. Mm-hmm. We're going to clink glasses. Mm-hmm. Well, here, let's see if we can get a better ring. That was a little better. It's not crystal.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Okay, so...
This is Chateau Frank.
It's 90% Pinot Noir and 10% Pinot Meunier. So they're the two of the traditional grapes, especially for a Pinot Blanc or Pinot Noir.
Very smooth. Mm-hmm. Very, very smooth. And remarkable toastiness.
Mm-hmm. And this is a 2006, which is their current vintage.
Uh-huh.
Again, another year from there. So they have established themselves in making the wine and in aging it surly to give you that body and structure before they actually... rack it off and riddle it and uh-huh. do the dosage. Again, very dry, but very nice.
Very dry, but the toast and yeast on it is really mm-hmm. quite remarkable.
It's certainly different than the previous one we tasted.
Absolutely.
The Chateau mm-hmm. Blanc
yes.
de Blanc.
Yeah, very different. And so what the name of this one is the... Oh, this is the Blanc de Noir.
Blanc de Noir.
Yes.
De Noirs.
Mm-hmm. And again, this one is $29.99, same mm-hmm. price yes. as the Blanc de Blanc. Mm-hmm. 2006 vintage, the other was 2007 mm-hmm. vintage. It's nice to see a winery holding.
Yes.
You right. know, like Iron Horse does here.
Yes.
You know, it's just really nice to see that rather than sending out these infants.
Exactly. And then they're gone before they're really even halfway near where they should be drinking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to have another sip of this.
I know. It's just a nice complex. And when we had this in the competition, it was tasting. It was marvelous. And
yeah.
we know, I was so happy to see it as the best of category. And then mm-hmm. put it together into the best of show taste off. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to tally the results from the judges coming back. And I said, the sparkling wine got a couple of votes. The sparkling wine got a couple more. And then lo and behold, it got all the votes for the best of show, which is the first time we ever, because it's very difficult in the best of show because you have whites, reds, everything else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Final is 34-31 Ravens.
Hey, but what a great second half.
Yeah.
Okay. To my friend Dominique, who was our guest last week and who made the most beautiful 49er king cakes that she sold at the farmer's market today. I'm really sorry. She's watching it down in Marin County, and she was really distressed when I told her that the orangutan picked the ravens. Do you know about the orangutan?
Yes.
And I thought, well, this will just be the year that it's finally proven that it's only random.
Yeah.
That the orangutans don't really know anything. Okay.
Oh, well, always next year.
Great game, and yes. Viva New Orleans.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so let's taste this a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. The Chateau Frank Blanc de Noir, 2006.
Really quite good. Okay, what do you think of this one, Annie? Tell me.
I think that the fruit in it is lovely with the toast of the aging process. Mm-hmm. It makes it a real full-bodied, sparkling wine. It'd be great alone, but a great food wine. And I think oftentimes that we always think of sparkling wine, you have it on at weddings and New Year's Eve, but it's sparkling wine is a great food wine that you can have with many courses.
On Tuesday night, mm-hmm. with spaghetti carbonara. I mean, this one would actually be, because of that toast, it would be really good with spaghetti carbonara. I'm a big advocate of drinking sparkling wine anytime the sun comes up. Have some sparkling. Any day the sun rises, have some sparkling wine.
Exactly.
Don't save it for special occasions, because it is exactly that. It's so food friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. The prices are very good on these wines.
Yeah.
As you see with the ones that are 2006 and 2007, they've held the price line.
Yeah. Sometimes I tell the story of... guests I've had, Kay and Don Baumhefner. I'm sure you must know. Wonderful people. And the last time they were on Mouthful, and I do hope to have them again soon, Kay talks about how she writes about food. She's a great chef. She teaches cooking in her home. And so she's often at her computer. And Don is a fabulous winemaker. Mm-hmm. And every day at 6 o'clock, if she's at her computer, she just reaches her hand behind her head. She doesn't even have to turn around, and Don is there. They were high school sweethearts. Don is there putting a glass of sparkling wine in her hand. Just like, now that's the way to live.
Exactly. Yeah, every day is a celebration.
Yes, absolutely. So let's mm-hmm. recap the wines. Let's go through the wines that we've tasted.
All of these from the Atlantic Seaboard. The first four, we start at non-traditional grapes varieties. The first one was Great Shoals Winery from Maryland. And that was a sparkling Vidal. Vidal Blanc is the grape. It's a French-American hybrid grape. And that was just in 2011 and retails for roughly $28.
It's 12%.
12% alcohol. The second one, we went to New York and enjoyed Wagner Vineyards, their sparkling Riesling. Again, a 2010 vintage, a little bit of sweetness, about 2% sweetness, but it's still 11.8 alcohol, so it's quite palatable there, 100% Riesling, and retailing for $19.99. And staying in New York, we went to Lakewood Vineyards, also in the Finger Lakes, and tried their Candio. Candio is a proprietary name. And it's a 2010 vintage with, again, 2% residual sweetness, and it's made from the Cayuga grape, a Native American grape, so you get a little bit different flavors coming through. And then... to New Jersey, Plagido's winery outside of Philadelphia in New Jersey, and tried Cinque, which is a 4%, so it's more just that sweet level, but it's made from Marquis, 100% Marquis, which is the grape variety, the Native American grape. And that's because of the, I believe, his production being slow and hand-done, and the cement corks that don't want to come out was $29.99. Yeah. So you have to pay for those corks somehow. And then we transitioned into our traditional grapes used for sparkling wines, the first one being the Veritas Winery from Virginia. And that's Scintilla, their proprietary name of the grape. It's a non-vintage and just a 1.5% sweetness and 12%, but it's made of 80% Chardonnay, but 20% Cabernet Franc. So it's not quite traditional style, but the Cabernet Franc, being a very prolific red grape in Virginia, is a very good use of it, I think.
Yeah, interesting backbone, interesting spices, mm-hmm. in the really nicely long finish.
Yes, and that retails for $30. Then back to New York, we went to Chateau Frank, which is a very great wine, champagne house, sparkling wine house that does some marvelous things. This is a 2007, their current vintage, for their Blanc de Blancs. And this was 0.8%, so still completely dry, but 12% alcohol, so not overpowering, but 100% Chardonnay. Well aged before it was bottled, or before it was complete finished bottling, and at retailing for $29.99. Then for a little treat, a little surprise, we went down to Georgia, Wolf Mountain Vineyards, which makes a Blanc de Syrah Brut. So it's made from the Syrah grape, 100% Syrah. It's a 2010 and still dry, 0.4% residual sweetness, 12.5% alcohol, and retailing for $32.95. But again, this has a slightly pink color, the slight salmon color, and a lot of flavors coming through from the Syrah grape. And then we finished with our Best of Show winner of our Atlantic Seaboard Wine Competition, back with Chateau Frank of New York and the Finger Lakes. And this is the Blanc de Noirs. It's the 2006, their current vintage for 2006, 0.8% residual sweetness at 12% alcohol, and it's 90% Pinot Noir and 10% Pinot Meunier, two of the traditional red grapes for a champagne, and it retailing for $29.99. And they're the bubbles we had today.
And really, really lovely. And, you know, I love that a Pinot Noir one does.
Yes,
you know.
Of course. That's traditional. That's style.
Yeah, and I'm fond of it.
And all of our judges loved it, too. That's why it's Best of Show. So
there
it's
you
great.
Go. And we have here, I'm not going to tell you any of the details. I'm just going to give you a little glimpse. We have underway, and I think it's picking up steam more next week. The one of several membership periods that we go through here on public radio. And there's going to be a sweetheart package in honor of what's that holiday? Oh yeah, Valentine's Day. And the sweetheart package is going to be a split bottle of champagne.
Super.
And some sort of special chocolates. Mm-hmm. And I actually won't be here next Sunday to do that. I have to make a very quick trip down to San Diego. But somebody will be here. We might be doing a really special archive. I might have someone sit in for me. But there will be an opportunity to show your support for Mouthful and get some champagne and chocolates. And then I will be back the week after that. You will be back a year from now.
Next year.
What are we going to do?
What would you
whatever
like to
you
do?
Want.
We'll see, or we can do some variety things and see what
Annie
happens.
Annie and I, you know, we'll have to brainstorm. I mean, maybe what we'll do, maybe we'll do some cooking. Maybe we'll do some pairing. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do some wine pairing. Let's come up with it. We'll come up with
sure.
something. And then I'm curious for this event, do any of your winemakers, do they ever come?
Some come out to the Unified Symposium.
Be good. It'd be great to get somebody to stick around and come on to Mouthful.
Yeah.
Have one of the actual winemakers here
we can
as well.
See what we do. We do. Some people do come out because the Unified Wine and Grape Symposium is the largest trade show in the wine industry in the North America, although there are second large and third larger on the East Coast, which people find it easier to travel to there.
Sure.
So some of them do come out to Unified, and it's also a good chance to come out and do some research.
Absolutely. And very pleasant research
yes.
it is. Okay, well, whatever it is, it'll be something really delicious
yes.
and interesting. And thank you once again for arranging this. Both of you, Carl and David, thank you so much
for
taking the time to come every year.
Michelle?
It's really, I look forward to it so much. And now in closing, I just have to raise my glass. Y'all can join me and say happy anniversary to Joey Mortadella, who is curled up asleep on his faux animal print miniature blanket. He is one of the great loves of my life. He is a long-haired miniature dachshund that I adopted when he was 9 years old, exactly 3 years ago today. And he has enriched my life in ways I never knew were possible. So, Joey, baby, happy anniversary. And we're going to go home and have a couple special treats. And he is wagging his tail.
He's looking up enjoying it.
So, have a great week. I will see you in 2 weeks, but somebody else will be here offering chocolate and champagne next Sunday on Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour.
To the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go eat. We've got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said. To the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go eat.
Then the mama's in the kitchen. This story,
well,
children, it is plain but true.
Hey,
God knows if a preacher
preaches long enough. Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.